The National Institute of Standards and Technology's latest guide will help agencies choose the right set of cyber tools to avoid another OPM-level data breach. NIST fellow Ron Ross, one of the authors of special publication 800-160, says the draft is designed to be flexible so that it fits each agency's needs. He shared more details about it with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers.
No two agencies are exactly alike, so why should their cybersecurity plans be the same? The latest version of Special Publication 800-160 is a guide for helping agencies and organizations assign value to their assets and choose the right set of tools that work best to secure their systems. NIST fellow Ron Ross says the special publication takes a new approach from the current standard.
The way we do our security controls today is we do our categorization under our FIPS publication 199, and we say my data and my system is either low impact, moderate, or high. Then you go and you grab the set of controls from the NIST 853 and you try to implement all those controls. You may do some tailoring and things like that. This document, the 800-160, comes at it from a different perspective. This says, what are the stakeholders' protection needs that are tied to critical mission space or business models? And that ends up spawning a set of security requirements. And then the question is, what security controls can we select to satisfy those requirements? And you may find a very surprising answer. It may turn out that we don't need as many controls as we thought in some areas. Maybe we need more in other areas. Because it's all tied back to the value of the asset. That's what makes this document a little bit unique. That's where 160 starts. It's an asset valuation. Just like when you discover you have some critical things at home, you put those in a safe deposit box. You put them in a separate domain. And this is what we do here. We analyze the assets, the ones that are more critical. We're going to design and engineer a system to include commercial products that are supporting that to a higher degree. So we can increase our penetration resistance first. And then if the adversary does happen to get in, they don't burn the whole house down. They only walk with 100 records versus 5,000, and that's an engineering aspect that can be addressed with this publication. So it's a very complicated problem, and I think we're not going to have any quick or easy solutions. But our goal is to get us on the right path and give people information. It's all about transparency so you can make better risk-based decisions in the end of the day.
The aim of 800-160 is to integrate cybersecurity into every aspect of an organization and ensure the workforce understands the responsibilities for helping to protect information.
800-160 is to try to give people a tool, a vehicle, to normalize the activities of security throughout the life cycle. So you both institutionalize cybersecurity and you actually operationalize it. Those are two very different things. Institutionalizing means that cyber is actually integrated in every aspect of the organization. It's in acquisition. It's in every decision-making process. In some sense, you don't want to have security be a stovepipe. You want it to be fully integrated across the entire enterprise. Operationally, making sure that everybody on the line, the front lines, going doing their work every day, whether it's public sector or private sector, understand their responsibilities and how whatever protections were employed within that system, people understand what they are, they know what they're supposed to do, and you actually build those day-to-day security responsibilities into the process.
But 800-160 is not a mandate, Ross says. And while it is a guide, agencies have flexibility to decide what works best for them.
It's system security engineering, but then we changed it to considerations instead of putting the word guidance, because sometimes people take our documents that we put out, and if it's a special publication, certainly if it's a FIPS, and they look at it as a mandatory requirement. So our FIPS are mandatory, but our special pubs are sometimes they're required, sometimes they're not. But the point is, we didn't want to overwhelm people with saying, here is 300 pages of guidance that you have to implement. We would like people to start looking at the content, understanding the content, see how they can apply maybe not all 30 processes. Maybe they look at and they say, we're going to do the first two, mission business analysis and stakeholder requirements. That's where you get the security team early when the first idea comes out or the first problem that you're going to solve gets discussed, and you bring them in early. And so we hope that over time, all 30 processes can be looked at. And the nice part about the 800-160 is that you don't have to do every process. You can do whichever ones are comfortable, that you understand, and then you can build out on that.
This is the second draft of 800-160, And along with changing the name to Considerations, it also includes 16 new processes that NIST added from a major standards update.
The original came out in May of 2014, and the reason it took so long is we answered all the public comments first. And IEEE and ISO, our standard or our guidance document is based on an IEEE and ISO standard. It's 15288. It's a systems engineering standard. And then we got permission to build all the security activities under each of those processes within that engineering standard. So they went through a major update in 2015. So our previous draft only had 14 of the total number of processes. Now we built out all 30 processes. They're technical from architecture, design, stakeholder requirements, system requirements, all the way through the non-technical processes, which would include things like risk management, configuration management, human resources. We cover every aspect. Wherever security touches an aspect of an enterprise, it's addressed in 800-160. So it's a holistic view.
Those 30 processes are sorted into four categories, the technical and non-technical groups Ross mentioned, as well as agreement and organization project enabling. Each process is also broken down into purpose, outcome, activities, and tasks. An agency might choose to address the process for human resource management. The purpose of human resource management sets the criteria, in this case, the qualification, assessment, and ongoing training for skilled cyber personnel. The outcome states the goal of human resource management, which would be to have a skilled cyber workforce. Activities and tasks more specifically suggest actions to take to achieve that outcome. Ross says cyber breaches are a reality today, so agencies shouldn't use that as a metric for firing people, but instead apply due diligence. If someone did all they could, but a breach still occurred, that's just the way it is, Ross says. But if it's discovered that an agency was operating below the line of a reasonable response, that's where accountability comes in, and that applies to all levels of the workforce.
It starts up at the top, but it's going to involve the entire chain up and down, from the managers and the leaders all the way through the mid-level managers all the way down to the folks on the front lines.
NIST is accepting comments on the second draft through June. In Washington, Meredith Summers, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
And you can read Meredith's story at federalnewsradio.com.